peril's injured. What do you know about it right now?
You know what? All it is basically is just it's his first time really back out there on the football field, so it just got sore. It's not an ankle sprain, an injury. It just got sore over the length of the practice yesterday, and it's something that we'll just have to monitor. And as we continue to go with these practices, it'll continue to sort of get in shape and back to game ready. We'll monitor it more than hold him back. If that answers your question, he's one that doesn't want to come out, obviously. But at the same time, we got to make sure that he is healthy when he's on the field.
Well, yesterday was a 3-hour practice. So is that going to be the norm, do you think, or is that just long?
Yeah, it's going to be. Now today's a little shorter. Today's a little over 2. A normal football game is 3 hours long. So why not start right now? Get him in game ready shape.
How'd your team come out of the first day in pads generally, the heat, everything considered?
Good, real good. You know, we're always going to have the nicks and bumps each and every day, and we had a couple guys that got a little dehydrated, so you needed some, the IV fluids and things like that. But everybody bounced back yesterday afternoon in the walkthrough perfectly, and everybody's ready to go this morning.
Doug, it seems for the last couple of years, every preseason, it's one of the things that's been the breakout year for Zach Ertz. What does that mean to you, and what are the expectations on him?
Yeah, Zach, he's a great tight end, number one, a great team player, a good leader on the football team. He's really sort of coming into his own now. He had a good spring, and I love all of our tight ends, but in his case, he can definitely create some opportunities for us. His ability to catch the football, his ability to separate. He's a big target over the middle. The one thing that I would say with Zach is, and really with any tight end, is just the physicality of blocking and being on the line of scrimmage. With Brent Celek sort of taking that lead, he's one that's going to have to be that second guy for us, as we go throughout training camp and the regular season.
To follow up on that, is there a way that Ertz can be better in the red zone? He hasn't had a lot of production there in his first couple of years in the league. Is there a way that he can improve in that facet?
Well, red zone can come a lot down to just scheme. How are you attacking defenses? And to be quite honest, defenses typically start their red zone philosophy at the 12-yard line, and it gets really tight down there. And so you're seeing a lot of teams drop 8. There are more guys into their, into the pass coverage as opposed to the pass rush because teams are trying to throw the football. So, it just comes down to scheme and how you're trying to attack a defense in the red zone. But fully expect to use his talent down there and his size and his ability to, separate and make plays down there.
His 3 days thing was new speed with the first team. What is he showing you?
Everything we expected him. He's a veteran guy. He's got a lot of starts, as in the National Football League. It's not too big for him. He's picked up the system, smart kid, and somebody that is definitely going to, fit into the mix and the rotation at guard for us. This is typical of a regular season. Those guys that get nicked up and miss a couple days, the next guy steps up, and it's that mentality, and he's done a nice job handling that.
Closer, Matthew. On the left side at all, or is he just going to stay on the right?
We'll see him at both guards, yes. We'll see him at both sides.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier about having the space for tight ends up on game day. Is that still kind of your thinking with Trey and Chris?
It is, because Chris is a versatile tight end for me. We can also put him in the backfield and use him as a fullback position, and he also has some value on teams, as do all the really the three tight ends. Celek, maybe not as much, but the other three, have some core value there on special teams, Chris being one of them, so definitely would like to see four potentially up.
Yeah, what about Trey as a fullback, too?
Trey is getting some work there. Can't put Chris in every time, especially during camp with the number of reps, so Trey is also getting some backup reps at fullback.
Closer, Matthews and Brandon to returning?
Close. It's going to be towards the end of, that we have a break coming up, I believe, on Tuesday for the players, and then it'll be into next week, probably the latter part of the week before we see them on the field.
We talked about the difference between the slot corner and outside corner, how it's kind of a different position. You have Ron Brooks working at both. How difficult is that for a player to take one snap outside and then have to move inside on the next snap?
Well, in a case like Ron, again, here's a guy that's had a lot of snaps in the National Football League, and a guy that we feel very comfortable as a staff and potentially particularly on defense that he can transition in there very well. That inside corner nickel spot, you know, is a it's a different animal, obviously, than being on the outside on the perimeter. There's a lot more, you know, the physical nature of that spot as well, being able to tackle and take on blockers. So he's done a nice job there. We'll continue to watch it, monitor that, get as many reps as we can in there. But all the confidence in the world with him being able to transition inside and out.
There are a lot of practical reasons for moving training camp here, obviously. But you talk about as you were a player and the ambiance that was up at Lehigh, particularly connection with the fans. And one, how important is a day like this as far as building that connection between the fans? And is two of these days enough?
Yeah, I do. I think that, you know, obviously two of these days, you know, with we'll see how many fans we get today, but expect a nice crowd. The weather cooperated for us. That is probably the one thing that you do miss, I'd say, on a daily basis, is that many fans that we had at Lehigh. Obviously, that can be great for the players, but it was a great atmosphere yesterday. Great atmosphere over there at the NovaCare facility, and not only with the fans, but our sponsorships and you know everybody that was involved. It was an exciting, you know, for me, it was the first time to really see it, and I didn't know what to expect, but I was fired up with the amount of people that were over there. And the players, you know what, once we blow the whistle, blow that horn, it's ball for the players, and they're focused on the game, and sometimes that's just on the peripheral. But I'm excited for today and then obviously in a couple weeks.
What does it mean to you to have Brian Dawkins working for you, scouting?
Oh, anytime, you know, we can bring alumni back and former players, you know, back to the organization to help us, whether it be on an intern basis or maybe potentially on a full-time basis like we've had, you know, with Greg Lewis and Deuce Staley and guys like that. I think it's beneficial. I think that somebody like that can also players see him, a former player, particularly on defense, and the type of player that he was and the leadership that he brought to this team and this organization. They can see that. They can see, you know, how he handled this city and how people really supported him and rallied around him. And I'm excited to see where it takes us, you know, and to see what role he can have, even with me, hopefully down the road with the team, whether he's speaking to the team or doing some things like that, I think could be very beneficial for everybody.
Jason Peters got some breaks throughout the day yesterday. Is he going to be the only player who's earned that privilege, or are you going to add other guys to that?
There'll be some other guys. Guys on defense, you know, because we do such a high-tempo, fast pace. We want to get in and out of the huddle and do some things. I mean, there'll be some other guys, you know, that will, as we go, you know, take some time off. I don't say time off. I mean, rest them, you know, keep them healthy, keep them fresh, and, you know, got to get them ready for September 11th.
When who they'll be?
Well, you're looking at your corner positions. I mean, you know, Leotis is a guy that he doesn't need a ton of reps over there. You got to monitor guys like I think the guys that are coming off injury, you know, maybe a Jordan Hicks, you take a look at him and you can say, hey, you know, let's rest him, back him down, and get him ready for the regular season. You know, obviously now Ryan Matthews with his situation, he'd be another one because of his nature, his style of running, which is very physical, being able to pull him back just a little bit. We did the same thing with Jamal Charles in Kansas City and when we had Brandon Albert there a couple years ago. And you get some of these guys, these veteran guys, Justin Houston that we had in Kansas City, the ability to just shut them down for a day and keep them fresh for the season.
Carson Wentz expressed real excitement being on the Link Field for the first time. Did you get that? Have you gotten that sense from him so far today?
Yeah, you know, I stood over there and watched the players get on the buses, and you can kind of see the – they're excited. They're excited about being here today and saw him and you know, he was smiling like he normally does and he's ready to go. And this will be good for all of them. It'll be good for him to experience the fans and experience the stadium for the first time. And again, this is a valuable part of training camp, especially with the young players, to expose them to the stadium for the first time before the first preseason game.
It's almost a full week for Carson now. What did you see this week from the time he reported to now?
You know, the way he's just handled himself on and off the football field, the way he's, you know, executed and sort of assumed his role now, where he's at, and the learning, sort of the learning curve that where he's at. Some of the plays he's made yesterday, and then through rookie camp, some of you know, there's a couple of wow plays that you just go, that's the kind of quarterback that you know you have, you know, he's right on track where we want him to be. You know, he's competing every day. He's learning in the room. He's asking great questions in the room. You know, Chase has done a great job with him and learning as well with Sam, and like where he's at right now.
Do you know the kickers have an edge yet, or is that going to be just determined in the preseason game?
One more time.
The kickers. Has anybody gotten an edge yet, or are they?
No. Again, it's part of the. Again, it's part of that evaluation process there. And so we haven't made any decisions yet one way or the other. You know, who's doing what. They're both getting equal kicks.
Doug, in terms of mechanics, what are you working on with Carson?
Specifically trying to keep his feet tighter to the ground. You know, he can get a little jumpy, a little hoppy. He can also be a little upright in his frame, so we'll try to keep him in a bent posture a little bit. And then just his knowledge and understanding of the offense, being able to anticipate and become an accurate, a little more accurate passer. You can work on those things with drill works and, you know, just the more reps he gets, he'll be more comfortable. But those are just a couple of things that we're doing.
Any more questions?
Any tweaks that you made mechanically that would explain, well, on occasion there'll be a ball that kind of flutters out of Carson's hand?
Not from the upper part of his body, not a throwing mechanic, nothing like that. You know, just trying to make sure his lower half of his body is in a better posture. Sometimes he can get a little tall, and sometimes that affects your throw. Keeping his feet tighter to the ground, where he can get the ball out faster, and then just where he's, you know, sometimes some of those balls, you know, can be. The process of, because I've been there, it's the process of thinking about the play. And the last thing you're worried about is the throw. You know, you're more worried about the progression of the play, and sometimes that affects the throw.
What's the benefit of having time in between plays for the coaches and the assistants to teach the players based on whether they made mistakes or not?
It's the only way we're going to get better. It's the only way. You know, I'm also a believer that, you know, you spend time in the meeting room at night watching the tape and making corrections there as well. But if you can get that immediate feedback right now on the field, it goes because there's been situations, for instance, it happened yesterday with Zach Ertz where he was a split end and as a tight end, and he ran a slant and he got jammed up. And we came back later in the practice and ran the exact same play, and he got the same coverage, he learned from it, and we completed the pass. So we were able to get that instant feedback not only from him, but as coaches we were able to give him something to help him on the next rep. And I think it's valuable that the coaches get an opportunity. I don't want to take too much time away because we're still working off of a play clock, but at the same time that instant feedback is valuable.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.